Well, good morning, and turn in your Bibles to Exodus 32. This is a glorious, glorious prayer here, and we just see Jesus Christ in this prayer. We see the mercy of the Father in this prayer, and we see, or at least I see myself so clearly in this prayer. The setting of this prayer is during the wilderness march at about the end of the first year, maybe a little bit before actually, God gave the law to the Israelites. He first gave it to them verbally, and you know the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. He went ahead and gave practical applications of that law, and then he called Moses up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and there he gave Moses the instruction for the tabernacle, the instruction for the priesthood, for their consecration, the daily sacrifices, the furnishings of the tabernacle, and the Sabbath law. And when he had finished this, when he's finished speaking to Moses, he wrote these things with his own finger on two tablets of the testimonies, or tablets of stone. Now, a very interesting thing is happening down below right at this very time. The people have previously promised to Moses, you go up on that mountain, we'll do all that God has commanded us to do. Now, he was only gone 40 days. That's what, 6 weeks, a little less? But they grew impatient, and you know the story. They said, where is this Moses? He's never going to come back. Let us make the gods of Egypt that we may worship them. And they got a hold of Aaron. Aaron and Hur had been left in charge of the people. But Aaron, even though he was a very eloquent speaker, he was a kind of a wobbler, it sounds like, as far as maintaining his doctrinal position during times of stress. And one thing and another, people came to him and they said, We want you to make us a god. And so he said, well, bring your gold and your earrings and so forth. So they brought the gold to him, and he fashioned a calf out of it. And then they commemorated that as the God of Israel, who they were going to worship. And so Aaron said, tomorrow we're going to have a feast day to the Lord. And so that next day then they had that wild time of paganism and sexual rites and one thing and another, worshiping the golden calf. At this very moment, it appears that God was giving Moses the tablets of stone. God could have stopped this sin in the camp very easily. He could have sent Moses down a day or two earlier. But God does not stop us from sinning, does he? He warns us of sinning. He does everything he can to prevent us from sinning, but he doesn't actually prevent us from sinning. And so I see myself here so clearly. I may be very close to the Lord, but how quickly I can turn away from that and turn into sin. So here we have the children of Israel turning into sin. God knows what's happening. And so he says, Moses, go down. The people are corrupting themselves. So Moses starts down the mountain. He gets part of the way down. He meets Joshua, who had been waiting for him part way up. And they hear this clamor down below, and Joshua said, oh, it's the sound of war. And Moses says, no, it's not the sound of war. It's the sound of the people rebelling against the Lord. But right before Moses went down, then God told him, he was so ashamed in a sense of the children of Israel that he said, your people, these people that you're leading into the wilderness. He didn't even call them his own people. And he said, leave me alone. I'm going to consume them in my wrath. A very interesting command to Moses. Leave me alone. I'm going to consume them in my wrath. But what God is really saying there is, as he tells you and as he tells me, intercede for them, Moses. I'm a merciful God. And I would ascribe to intercession for them and show them mercy. The Lord says to Moses in verse 9, I've seen these people, they're a stubborn, stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Now notice, in addition to God's plan to wipe them out, which he should have done because of their sin, which is the same thing that he should do to you and I, should he not wipe us out because of our sin? But he sent a Savior to save us. And here, he is going to prompt Moses to intercede for them. And he also offers Moses an opportunity here to profit himself and his very own family by saying, and I will make of you a great nation. Notice of that. Notice a great temptation there for Moses. I will make of you a great nation. You know, these stiff-necked, stubborn, wicked people, I'm just going to wipe them out. But you're a good man, Moses. I'm going to make the nation out of you and your family. But notice how Moses is really selfless here. He is not looking for his own self or his own family. So he pleads with the Lord now in verse 11. Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Moses is going to plead for the glory of God. He's not going to really plead for the innocence for the people, because they deserve nothing but wrath, right? He is going to actually cry out for mercy, though. He's going to cry out for mercy. And the basis of this is, God, for your glory, why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, to consume them from the face of the earth? So then Moses says, turn from your fierce wrath and give mercy, or relent this harm to your people. And remember the covenant, Lord. So here again, standing on the promises. We see so important to stand on the promises when we pray. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Remember, God, you promised. You promised to this people this land forever. So now in verse 14, we see the response to that prayer. So the Lord relented, or had mercy, from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Just an awesome thing, isn't it? And don't you see Christ there so clearly? Because that's what we're really celebrating this whole weekend, isn't it? That Christ came and interceded for us in a much bigger way. He interceded, in a sense, by offering his own blood to save us. But we deserve nothing but God's wrath. And I just really was moved by this prayer as I looked at it earlier, and I've always kind of just looked at the golden calf with disgust at the children of Israel. How could they do this? How could they be so wicked and turn so quickly from all the Lord has done? But as I looked through this, it just showed me my own sin, showed me my own worthlessness, showed me my own self as deserving nothing but God's wrath, and yet having mercy, he saved me and he saved you. Now, what is your love for all of those out there who have not yet received the Lord, who are headed for eternal destruction? Do you care for them the way the Lord cares for us? Do you care for them the way that Moses cared for his people? Or could you take the position, well, I'm saved, I'm in good shape. Too bad, they are not, or they're refusing. So we need to pray, don't we? And we're here this morning. That's the reason we're gathered here, to pray, to intercede as the Lord leads us. So let us pray as the Spirit would lead us. We want to pray for this weekend. We want to pray for the harvest of souls, which I believe will be forthcoming around the world, beginning in a few hours. As we get into the Resurrection Day celebration, that's probably the most likely day of the year of people turning to the Lord. So there'll be a lot of visitors coming to the house of worship around the world. So let's pray for that primarily maybe today, but also just pray for the things that the Lord always has us to pray for, kings and those in authority and the lost in general, and for the believers, for the missionaries, for the pastors, and for whatever the Lord puts on your heart. So, Father, we thank you now as we go to prayer, and we thank you for this weapon that you've given us. We thank you for motivating Moses to intercede for the children of Israel. And, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to intercede through the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw us into one accord now and prepare our hearts to pray in one accord in Jesus' name. Amen.